Boker Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Mura brought to you miben chovot rabot Yerushalayim is we were holding on daf vav, right? No? Where did we get to?
Today is vav, but we're at the bottom of the previous daf.
Yeah, but the daf is daf vav. Okay, we are holding on the close to the bottom. Just try to remember where we got up to. I know I got to my favorite place, right? Digun, I think is where we're up to. Mertzi and Yata Shibolim, She'inam Bichlal Digun. Yeah, so we got right up to the case of Amona LeKohen Gadol. Okay, yeah. So we're up to case number 9. Remember what's been going on. We started off with the machlokas between Rav and Abaye. Machlokas is if, when the Torah says not to do something, if one does it, will it be effective? Abaye says, well, of course, it's got to be effective because otherwise, how would you get malchus? Rav says, no, it's not effective. And the reason you get malchus is for the attempt, which means that there were two issues between Rav and Abaye. Will you get malchus just for attempting to be over? That's one machlokas. And the other machlokas is whether, in fact, any chalos that requires a mechanism, such as a kinyan or a hegdesh or a whatever it is, will work or not work, is a machlokas between Abaye and Rav. So we went through many different cases, going all the way from the question of a divorce for a rapist to whether somebody takes trumas off of Paris that are not proper, or whether he takes one min on the other, or whether he's mocked in Truma Labikurim or a Meiser to Truma, all types of things we spoke about. And in each one of the cases so far, we've had 8 cases. In each one of the cases, either Abaye said this is a special case, or Rava said this is a special case. But we haven't been able to get either Abaye or Rava into a stranglehold. So we had questions, and every time each one figured out why the pasuk is good for Marba, the other one. Today, in case number 9, we got up to Amana LeKohen Gadol. Vare Amana LeKohen Gadol. What's the halacha in the case of an Amana who marries a Kohen Gadol? It says beferish, Amana Grusha lo yikach. You are not allowed, Kohen is not allowed to marry the Amana Grusha, if it's none. And yet, the Mishnah and Kedushin says, wherever Kiddushin is Tofes, then the Vlad follows the case of the Pagum, and therefore, if there is an Isser that's involved, then that Vlad is going to be, if the case was a case where it's a Pagum in the case of a Cholol, so it'll be like a Cholol. If it's worse than that, then it'll be worse than that, whatever it is. But what's important to us is the fact that it says, Kol makom sheyesh kiddushin. How is there kiddushin? There should not be any kiddushin, no? I mean, if the Torah said, don't do it, so then it shouldn't be kiddushin at all. So according to Rava, this makes no sense at all. The answer is Rava. Shainei hacha, the omakra, lo yechalel zaro. Since it says, lo yechalel, Tosus understands, it seems pretty clear from the next piece of the Gemara, that the diak is from the double lamed. Instead of saying lo yechal, it says lo yechalel. Lo yechalel would mean that it's not even, it doesn't create mamzerut, that's for sure. Okay? But maybe, Tainas Tosfos, that the Gemara is taken into consideration, maybe mamzerut is not necessarily a function of tfisas kiddushin. Because, I mean, what if you hold like the Mandi Omer says that ein mamzerim ella the Chayve Mises. There's no Kedusha on Chayve Krisis, and yet he's not calling him Abzeret. So the two are not necessarily interdependent, which is the way most are learning the Gemara. We're taking for granted it's interdependent without even explaining how we know. But rather, it's for the fact that one of the Lamets comes to tell me it's only Chilulim that he would create and not Mamzeret, and the other one comes to tell me, and the Kedusha is Tefes. The only problem is Chilulim, not Tfisas Kedusha. So according to Baya, that's all we need. Name a crow lo yechil. What do we need the extra lamet for? Because according to Abaye, why not? What do you mean, why not? The Torah said not to. So, I hold that the Torah says not to. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So why not? Right? So that, what do I need the extra lamed for? My lo yachalel, that comes to tell me that there's two different dinim. There's a din of chilulim that he brings this kohen who marries the almana, what he does to the child that results of their union, he's a halal. And furthermore, what he does to the woman that he slept with, that she is also now mechulalet from achilas truma. So now she becomes his owner, essentially. Okay, number 10. So far, we haven't been able to get the score. All right, let's try number 10. What about Hikdish Bali Mumil Mizbe? We're going to see later on today that the posik of Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Takrivo, even though it sounds like it's saying don't bring it on the Mizbeach, it actually doesn't mean that. It means you can't even be Magdish it. And if you try to be Magdish it, you're going to be owing a lot. So now, it says over there that HaMagdish, Tanya should say, HaMagdish Bali Mum and Agabi Mizbeach Afa Pishu Belo Taseh, which we'll see what that lotasa is. Nonetheless, Masha Asasui, Bidiyavad, it's kosher. Not kosher, but Bidiyavad, it's kodesh. How is that? Do you have to do Rava? Omar lecha Rava, special case. Shiny Asam is another special case. The Omar cross, since the Torah specifically says that the call Asher Bamum Lotak Rivu, and the idea over there is La Neder. Lo yiratze. So if that's the idea, it's the neder lo yiratze, that means it's only not meratze. Ritzur de lo meratze. If it wasn't even Kodesh, what are we talking about being meratze? Is that the point? You're putting chulin on the mizbeah. Obviously, it's not going to be meratze. So it's telling you it's only ritzur you de lo meratze. Ho migdash koche. What other things? Where are the things? Here is it. This is what you have to bring. It's talking about you being Magdish, something that you want to be Magdish. You can't be Magdish for the Talmud. Okay. Well, it's Abaye. The further questions aren't contained in the flow of Adat. That's afterwards. Well, Abaye. So why do I need another lawyer at Sam? According to Abaye, anyway, I know that it would be Chal the Kiddush. Because he loved Amar Rachman and Lenei Lo Yiratze, I would have thought that if you brought a Baal Mum and it was Be'ach B'di Avad, it was kosher. Why not? You told him I'm not allowed to. Fine. I'm not allowed to. I did it. So do I bring another Korban or was I Yotze with this Korban? If it wouldn't have said another Lo Yiratze, how do I know that I wouldn't actually be Yotze B'di Avad? We do find cases where Yaakov, something is put up on the Mizbeach, it's not supposed to be there, but once it's up there, it's up there. So maybe this is one of those things. Kamash Ron comes along to Torah to tell us, no. Number 11. Maybe this one won't be a special case, right? Number 11, which is the opposite case. Instead of the case of being Magdish a Baal Mum to the Mizbeach, if you're Magdish a Korban that could have been a Korban Tamim, to Behema Tamima to the Berek Abayit, you're also going to be over on a lot. Why? The Yom Rachmana, since the Torah says, Midavata Seoto. Midavata Seoto means all you could do if it has a mum is give it as a donation. That means, Berekabayit, Zekachi Berekabayit, which is mashma, that you can only oto it, you can give to the Berekabayit. But an actual carbon tamim, you cannot give to the Berekabayit. So you see from here that there's an Isser. Nonetheless, it says in the Bright, I should say Vitanya, HaMagdish Tmimim LeBerek Abayit, Afal Pi Shehu B'lo Taaseh, even though there's a lav, by the way, the lav is not clear from here because it's just a lav above Bechlal Aseh here, right? Because it says Oto, Novat Aseh Oto, which is Mashma, only Oto and not the other, but that's from a positive statement. Give it as an Adava. Not something else is in a dove. So why does it say lo taseh? That's because the sugya, we'll see later on, the sugya begins with leimor. The Gemara Darshan from leimor, lav amor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a lav about these issues. We'll get into that. No, we'll get into that drasha then. But meanwhile, just don't worry about the fact that it says lo taseh, because the lo taseh indeed is not the word oto. Oto is the raya that there is a lotasa, but isn't itself the lotasa. So in any event, it says beferish over here that if you're magdish bimim lebedek abayit, So now we finally have a deal to the Rava, right? Rava, wrong. Because all of this is one pasuk. Didn't we just say that the pasuk that is talking about not bringing the Baal Mum, that the Torah went out of its way to say, but it's only lo yiratzeh, but that the kedusha would actually be chal. So then that pasuk, when it says l'nedavat ha'aseh oto, is the opposite. So it's saying it in the same way. Mimokim shenitrabu ba'alei mumi l'gabi mizbeach, the same pasuk that we now use to prove that when the Torah says, don't do this, it means, and if you do it, it will work, is also the continuation of this pasuk. Nisrabu tmimim l'berek habayit. From there we see the bidyavad, if you gave tmimim l'berek habayit, so then, the neder was talking about something that would go onto the mizbeach, and we said that if it was a baal mum, it would be kadosh. So then that means that the opposite, which is nedavat aseh oto, the low, the tamima, also means that. And if you do it, it'll be chal. You can't read half the pasuk one way and half the pasuk the other way. It's the mamish, the next words. So this is also a special case. Oh my gosh. Okay. Number 12. This should do it. What about Geza? Somebody goes and he steals. Now, the Torah said, lo tigzol. That's pretty clear. And the Mishnah says, famous Mishnah, Geza, leitzim, yasam, kelim, tzem, erav, yasam, begadim. Every child knows this Mishnah. Now, the din is, mishalim, kishata, gzela. He doesn't return it. That's just, give me back my wood. What wood? That box. I didn't steal no box. So that can't be what that the Torah says you get to keep it. You have to pay, obviously, according to the value that it was at the time you did the gzela, but there's no din of hashava. Why? Because it's not what you stole, and you were kena it. How could you be kena something? Let me ask you something. Suppose you walked into the guy's house, the gunner, walked into the guy's house, chopped up the wood, and built it into a box. What's the din over there? He pays in Nezikim, like in any other case in Nezikim. There's no kinyan that he made on it. I never took it out of the guy's rishos because there was never a gazela. And if gazela doesn't work, and there was a gazela, it's exactly the same as not taking it out of the house. Gazela doesn't work. It doesn't help you to make a kinyan. So why would it be any different than any type of Nezikim? What does it have to do with this new idea that I'm kinyan at machinery? A chutzpah, I walk in, steal the wood. Now I get to keep your wood. Well, I get to keep your wood. Seems very clearly to you of the Rava. How did the act of Gizela that the Torah said not to do, how did it help to allow you to affect a Kenyan through making a Shinui? Obviously, it's not the Shinui qua Shinui that's Kena, as I just showed you. If you wouldn't have done a Gizela, Shinui isn't Kena anything. It's the Gizela, but I thought a Gizela can't work. That is an instrument of achieving possession. According to Rava, an instrument of achieving possession that is prohibited doesn't mean anything, right? The Torah said, don't use that instrument. Armalacha Rava, that's different. Because why does the Torah say specifically, Veshivat ha-gizela asher gazal? What gizela could he return if he hadn't stolen it? Obviously, ha-gizela asher gazal. Ella, what is the pasuk coming to say? Give back the thing that you stole, which you stole. Come on. So it must be coming to tell me, only if it's kemosh gazal, only if it's in the equivalent state of when it is that you stole it. Otherwise, you don't have to give it back. So that means that the Torah is telling you that as opposed to a case where Stamu calls nezek, this is a case where you would actually be kainas. Even though normally the Torah says, if the Torah says don't do something, lo mahani, the Torah is saying over here that it is mahani. What can you do? It's a special case. Ask the Gemara, okay. So now, what is Abaye going to do with the pasuk? What do I need the pasuk? Hayasher gazal, my mi boile. Since anyway, I would know that I can make a kinyan, so I should know even without this that I'm able to be kinyan. That's a pretty crazy question, isn't it? How do I know that there's such a concept of shinui? I don't understand. If it wouldn't have said kasher gazal, how would I know? And therefore, if it's different, I don't have to give it back. What do you mean? I stole wood. You're saying, well, but now it looks like a box. No. Who cares if it looks like a box? I stole wool. You're saying, well, now it looks like a coat. Who cares if it looks like a coat? If the Torah didn't tell me specifically these words, Asher Gazal, would you know such a thing? So don't I have to know the concept of Shinui? Forget about the question of whether I have to know that Shinui is Canaan. But don't I have to know that there's a din of Shinui? Where would I get such a halacha from? So here the Achrenim points out that the din of Shinui, that it exists, that a Shinui is actually a deraisa in redefining something, I know from Esnan Zena. Because over there, I'm a dayak from the Psukim, that if you pay a Zena with, let's say, chitim, and she grinds it up and she makes it now into loaves of bread, that then it's kosher for the Mizbeah. Why is that? Because Shinui. It's a different thing than it was. So the concept of Shinui, I know. The only thing that I'm bringing over here is that I'm able to actually be Kena that. That's a different thing. According to Abai, I understand, why wouldn't you be able to be Kena? It is a Shinui. You removed it from Israel's shows. The Torah said don't. So when the Torah says don't, it doesn't mean can't. It means you shouldn't. So what? That's what the Gemara is asking. So what do I need the posik for? Asher Gazal. What's it for? Oh, that tells me a tremendous chiddush. Veshivat Agzila Shagazal's in context of the din of somebody who was accused of stealing. The guy says, hey, you stole that from me. No, I didn't. That's mine. Swear. I swear. It's mine. Comes back the next day a little sheepish. Well, may have lied a little bit. So the din over there is, he's Veshivat Agzila Shagazal. He has to pay an additional chomesh. When does he pay the chomesh? Asher Gazal. What would the case be? Guy's father stole this person's thing. Father dies. Son comes along. The guy says, hey, your father stole that and give it back. Guy says, no, I bought it. You swear you buy? I swear I bought it. Fine. So then, since that gazela came into his rishus through his father, it wasn't a gazela asher gazal, and only on an act of gazela, not on the act of the shvuah per se, is the halach of tosefet chomer. That's a big chiddush, which according to Abaye is the point. We'll have to say either that he's kolo both of them. What is going to have a okay, number 13. We've got to find something. Number 13. There we go. Bar mitzvah, that should be the magic number. What about the din of a mashkin? Now, amazingly, the Torah, way ahead of all the brilliant civil law people, said you're not allowed to go into another person's house for any purpose without a court order. Amazing. The guy owes me $1 million, but you want to go into his house to get his TV set? Get a court order. Okay, so now the guy goes ahead and he takes the TV set anyway. Without a court order. What's the halacha over there? So the Torah says, lo tavo el beto lavo tavoto. You cannot come into his house to take something, which, by the way, does not only mean coming into his house. It means taking by force under any circumstances. Even if he's walking down the street, you can't grab something out of his hand and say, listen, you owe me $1 million, I'm keeping your watch until you come and pay me back. But, okay, this is the way the Torah puts it, is the idea of entering someone else's home. And yet, the Mishnah says, Meferish, that machzir et akar balayla, the Mishnah was talking, this is a little bit confusing, because if you don't know the Mishnah, then this doesn't prove anything. The halacha is that even if you did get a court order, the court only awards you the right to keep the mashkin when the individual doesn't need the mashkin. So let's say if you take a pillow from him, which he needs to sleep on, you'll have to give him the pillow back every single night and recollect it in the morning using the same court order. And if you took a mashkin, something that he must have during the day, let's say he's a farmer, you take his plow, you'll have to return the plow for his entire day use to come and pick it up again at night. That's true even where you properly got the mashkin. However, the Mishnah begins by talking about a case where somebody is usher to take a mashkin bal korcho, and then it goes on to say that if you did, machzir takar balayla v'tam hachareshe b'yom. Why? According to Rava, you have no rights to it whatsoever. The Torah said you can't take it, just give it back. What do you mean in the day and in the night? It's nothing to do with the day and the night. It's not yours. Give it back. And then it'll be his forever. Amar lecha Rava, special case. What's the special case? Shinei atam the amakra hashev tashiv. Why am I keep giving it back again and again? Why are you saying give it back and give it back again and give it back? So what is that referring to? If I'm giving it back, how am I giving it back again? So therefore, in adding the giving it back is only if I actually have a right to it. So it must be that somehow or other I'm able to keep it even though I took it improperly. Will I buy it? So why indeed do I need to know? What do you mean? Why do I need to know? Because I might have thought, Ilav di Amar Achmana, Hashev Tashiv. Let's say if the Torah had not said that. So then, what is it? The Torah had not said that, I would have said, look, in the case where you took it, Shaloka did not, just tell him it was all done. You should call my home. Call my home. If it wouldn't have said that, I would have thought, if you did the Isser, then Iboy Nahadir, Iboy Lo Nahadir. The Torah only wants you to go ahead. It says that when it says, V'im, if Ish Anihu, when it says in the Torah, Lo Tishkav Ba'avoto, don't sleep in his pajamas. If this is the only pair of pajamas he has, give it back to him. But I might have thought that that's only where you got it legally. But if you were over on the Isser and you stole it, so to speak, and you did what the Torah did, you're not doing it, so you did the Isser. How do I know that the din of Im Ish Aniyu and so on and so goes, even if you didn't get it correctly from the courts? So maybe, all right, you're already over the Isser, that's it. Now I'm not giving you any mitzvahs. Go and burn. Kamash Malan. That it's not up to you. I would have thought, Havamina Iboy Nahader, Iboy Lo Nahader. Okay, if you want to be a good guy, you can give it back. But if not, not. Kamash Malan, that the din is chal on all circumstances, whether it's a properly achieved mashkin, and it has a din of a mashkin, because Besdin made it a mashkin, or whether it was essentially you're taking your money back, shalok it in, because you collected it wrongly. Fine. Okay, there was some other year, so over year, which the Gro goes through, because we see in Rashi, there must have been something here. But okay, we don't have it, so I think we can go on. And okay, Bar Mitzvah didn't do it. Maybe number 14 will do it. Okay, what's number 14? Heya! The Torah said, Lo techaleh pa'atzatcha bekutzarecha. All right, you came, and you're now harvesting your field. Don't harvest the whole field. Leave the last bit for the aniyim. And yet, the Braita says, I should say V'tanya, mitzvahs peya, obviously the mitzvah lechatchila is lafrish min hakoma. You have to leave those standing grain in your field. Do not harvest them. What if you didn't? Suppose you did, you were over, you went ahead, and you collected the pay anyway. Lo yafrish min hakoma, yafrish min ha'omarim. Then give it from the sheaves after you tie the pieces that you cut. You cut them b'yisr, still belongs to the aniyim. Your stomach, you have to give it to the aniyim. Can't walk away with the aniyim's things, can you? Leave it from there. Suppose you didn't do that either. Lo yafrish min ha'omarim. So then go up to the pile, which is still not smoothed out on top, and therefore it's not called dagan, and therefore there's no problem of giving it to the ani without taking off truma, because it wasn't chayev in truma. Normally, when you leave something to the ani as peya, the way you should, the ani doesn't have to worry about any matanis. This is his. This was given to him. But if you give it to him after it's already chayev in matanis, you have to take care of it before you give it to him. So if you took it out after, first yafrish mina kriyat shalom mirchu. Before you do the miruach, which we talked about yesterday, was b'chayev truma. Once you were already miruach, you smoothed it over, then you have to take off the matanis. You take off truma semaisis, you give it to him. But that's it. If you already went beyond that and you ground it up, it's too late. Because this is the last thing that you can do. You've already winnowed it, and you already threshed the whole thing, threshing and winnowing and piling it, you did. The next thing to do is turn it into a piece of cake. Once it's a piece of cake, it's a piece of cake. That's it. So then you can't give it to the ani anymore. But this is not belonging to ani. As far as why can't you be sued for the fact that you stole from the ani, it's called Mama Chain Lotovin. You'd have to arrange a class action suit of every ani in the world, which would be pretty hard to get. You can always say, well, it belonged to somebody else. Why should I respond to your court? To your court case.
If they didn't, though,
I don't know. I mean, it's called Momichay Latovim because of the, yeah. Anyway, now, Mr. Rabbi Shmuel Amro, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, what's wrong? Even if you turned it into dough and cookies or whatever you want, you're still going to have to give it. Afrafrish, mina isa, which is a tiyuftada bai, how in the world is it possible to say that you weren't kainet? According to Abaya, you're right. The Torah said, don't do it. Okay, but I did it. No. So if I did it, then Rabbi Shmuel would have to admit, once it's done, then I was kind of a shinui, right? Why am I leaving it from the dough? So how in the world would you possibly explain such a thing to Chlal? Ah, you'll taina. Okay, fine. So Abaya should say, I don't know the Rabbi Shmuel. I go, according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan agree with me. Rabbanan said, once it's turned into a dough, I don't have to give it. What are you asking me for Rabbi Shmuel? Can I help it if Rabbi Shmuel wants to hold like Rava? I hold like the Chachomim. Ask Rava. Don't ask on me. It's really very strange. The Gemara takes for granted that I could ask from Rabbi Shmuel. But the point is that we've already explained that Rava has no problem holding like the Tanakama. Why? Because we just showed that when it comes to the din of Shinui Kena by Gezela normally, that Shinui is Kena, correct? And Rava said that's a special case because of Kasher Gazal. So now, if that's the case, when we would ask Rava, so Rava, how do you explain that the Tanakama says that once you turn it into cookies, you don't have to give it? Rava will look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean, how do I explain? You just asked me that. You just asked me about a gazela. This is essentially a gazela. You took it from the aniyim. And I told you because the Torah says that gazela is okay in your kind of bishino, even though normally, in this case, it is mahani. So what's the difference if you call it peya or if you call it shinui, or if you call it gazel? Same thing. I have no problem. So Abaya can't turn around and say, well, what's the problem? I hold like the Tanakama, because we'll tell Abaya, excuse me, Rava also holds like the Tanakama. That doesn't explain the fact that over here we have a Tana that is completely insupportable by you. Because this Tana, obviously what Rabbi Shmuel is saying, is that whatever it is that you learned about a normal Gezela does not apply over here because this is Peah. But according to you, who cares if it's Peah? The Torah said, don't do it. I did it, so what do I have to give it now if it's cookies? There shouldn't be any possibility of such a Shita. According to Abaye, that's the problem. Amalek Abaye, special case. How is this a special case? Because the pasuk says, Ta'azov Yitera. It mentions twice the din of Ta'azovotam. So Ta'azov, therefore, is coming to say, even after you changed it, not getting away with anything. Ta'azov, you're going to have to keep leaving it. That's what Rabbi Yishmael is saying. And indeed, according to Rava, what's the meaning of the Tazov Yetera V'Rav Amalacha? That comes to teach me that there is another din of Aziva. And what is that extra din of Aziva? This is an amazing halacha. The din is that all of the matanis, including Meiser, Peya, and the Eilolais, and Peret, and so on and so forth, everything you're supposed to give to the Aniyin, you have no chiyuv of leaving anything to Aniyim if you collected this from Hefker. Fine. Now, what if you're a very smart guy? You go out the night before and you're mafkir your stuff. I mafkir all of these fields. You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, look at these beautiful fields of Hefker. I think I will go and be kind of them and harvest them. Don't have to leave Peah, don't have to leave Peret, don't have to leave Olalos, a cold beseder. Comes along the Torah to say, or, what? Because I was kind of them from after. That's what I think. Now, the truth is, when it comes to taking Meiser, it's true. I indeed would not be chayev in Meiser in that case, even though I'm a smart aleck, but it works. Okay? Why does it work for Meiser? Because Meiser, I don't leave. There's no Tazov of Meiser. I have to give it. Right? I have to decide this is Meiser and give it. All of the other Matanis, I have to leave. Therefore comes along the Torah and says, you still didn't leave it. But no, you took back your own thing. Come on. I mean, let's not play games. Tazo. Anyway, even though you got it from the Hefker. But since the Gabi Meiser doesn't say the word Tazo, so then over there I have no complaints about the fact that you sneakily managed to avoid the Chiev. Okay, you know, what can you do? But when it comes to these, then it says a Tazo Yetira. And that's what this is coming. Ezo, what's the case? The strange case of Tazo is coming to tell me that Yeshlecha Ziva Cherechi Kazu, besides normal Tazo, there's another case where you'd have to be Ozev anywhere. And that case is Amafkir Karmo. And that's the famous case in the Braita, the Tanya. Hamafkir Karmo, a guy at night, he makes his Kerem a Hefker, and then he gets up early in the morning, Vishkim Lashachar Uvitzaron. And he goes ahead and he does the Betzira. He's Chayev, the Pered, the Eulalai, the Shikha, the Peah, but we have to admit, he's Potter Mina Meiser, because Meiser is not a function of Tazo. Fine. Omar Le Revacha Bereda Ravala Ravashi, I'm getting a little tired of this Sugya. Because Hashta de Shanina Kohanishnu, look, I mean, as far as I can figure, we have basically asked every single possible case that this would be no gam. And every single case always turns out to be a special case. We started off with this major, unbelievably profound issue of how to view all of the dinim in the Torah. And every case where it would have any practical implication is a special case. So can you tell me what are they arguing about exactly? Like what? So Abayev Arava b'may pliga. Give me a case where it'll make enough kamina lahalacha. Whether you hold like Abayev Arava, I can't figure out any additional case. I'll tell you. The case will be beribit k'tzutza. Come here, forget. The case is where somebody took real ribit. What's real ribit d'oraita? Real ribit d'oraita is where I make a loan and I define how much extra you're going to be paying me back as a loan. So there's two issues in ribit k'tzutza. You could have a ribit k'tzutza, but it's not a loan. For instance, I make a deal with you. How much does that fridge cost? 1,200 shekel. But if you pay straight out today, we'll give it to you for 1,000 shekel. If you want to pay normally at the end of 30 days, then it costs 1,200 shekel. Now, in reality, what I'm doing is I'm making you pay more for allowing you to keep your money for an extra month. But it's not arranged as a loan. It's arranged as a discount for paying in cash, right? So therefore, that would be maybe ribit, but it's only called avak ribit, mitarabona. But ribit k'tutza would have to satisfy those two requirements, arranged as a loan and defined as what precisely I'm going to be paying extra. Now, so now the question is, according to what Rabbi Elazar said, if a person took ribit k'tzutza, he can recover it in court. And it's yotza b'dayanim. If it's only avak ribit, which is ribit de rabbanan, then he can't get it out in court. Ein yotza b'dayanim. Mashen ken Rabbi Yochanan says, you can never get ribit out from the court because ribit is legally yours. Okay, what are they arguing about? L'chora, this is exactly what they're arguing about. If the Torah said you cannot take ribit, and yet I created an instrument that gave me ribit, did it work or did it not work? So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it worked. You were over the Isser, and you can't get it back. There's no way to get it out of the court. Masha Enkein Rabbi Elazar is saying, no, you did something the Torah said not to do. It's not yours. Go to court and get it back. If you actually collect it, if the guy actually collected from you, just go and get it back because he had no right to collect it. He had a contract. It's an invalid contract. Why is it invalid? Because the Torah said not to do it. Perfect example of this issue. If you did something the Torah said not to do, does it or does it not work? Brilliant. Said Rav Acha Breda Rava, no. I know for a fact that that is not the issue between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, actually. But they're arguing about a svara, about whether Iovid Mahani, Iovid Lomahani. That's not what they argue in because there's a whole conversation about what the machloket is. And it turns out the machloket is actually in Tsukin. Hatam Bikroi Plige. They're not arguing in this machloket between Abai and Rava. They're arguing about the Tsukin, the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. What's Rabbi Yochanan thinking over here? My time at Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Kro. Look, it says in the Torah, "B'neshech natan v'tarbit lakach v'choy lo yichya." A guy gives money on ribit and he expects to live. No way he's going to live. It's like Lashon Tema. He's not going to live. Okay? So if that's the case, what is it saying? This is all a whole piece in Yechezkel, which comes after. It's important to know because we're going to be Dorish that later. This guy is called in the previous passage, Vaholid ben Parit Shofech Dam. Right? This guy gets a son. It's talking about how one thing leads to another. So a guy has a son who is a Parit Shofech Dam, and what does he do? Beneshech Natan Vitarbit Lakach. He goes around lending money on interest. You think he's going to survive? No. Okay. So since it says he will not survive, that's telling you, L'chaim nitan, v'lo li'yishavan. You want to take ribit? Here's the issue. Life or death? Pain? No. Not pain. Too late for pain. There's no pain. Life or death. Make up your mind. You want to live? Then don't take it. But that's all that's involved, not courts. So l'chaim nitan, v'lo li'yishavan. That's the basis. Rav Acha bar Ada Amar. No, the basis is very simple. What do you have to go to Yechezkel? So in the pasuk, it says over there, V'yareta mi'alokecha. So you're supposed to have Yira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She doesn't say Ani Hashem in the pasuk, you're fine. L'mora netativ v'lo lehishava. It's there. I'm telling you, don't take off Nezher v'tarbit V'yareta mi'alokecha. What do you got to tell me V'yareta mi'alokecha? I mean, it's like everything else in the Torah, right? Because so, I'm telling you. All that's going to happen to you is, watch out, buddy. I'm after you. So in other words, what I'm telling you is that don't watch out for the courts. There is no courts. You took the money, you took the money. So there, again, it's showing you l'moranitativ. You should be in terror, but not from the courts. Lola yishavon. Rava amar mehacha. Rava says, this is part of that whole story that begins with Atoevota El Asa. Mot Yumat Damav Bo Yihye. So this begins the story in Yechezkel. A guy does this kind of things, which includes Beneshech, Matan, and so on and so forth. You should know that such a person is the equivalent of, he's the expression of the Ben that was Parit Shofech Dam, who went ahead and did this. So you see from here that he's compared. It said before, Vaholi ben Parit Shofech Dam. So you see that the Mo'averi bit, which is what it says afterwards, Beneshech Ratan, and the Tarbit Lakach, and so on, Kol HaToivota El, that's what he did. So you see that someone lending on ribit is considered to be a murderer. What's the din of a murderer? Ma'ashev Chei Damim, can you give it back? No. We haven't figured out a way to do that yet. But once you shot the guy and he's dead, you're not going to be able to give him back his life. You're not going to be able to give back his life in terms of ribis either, which means once the ribis is taken, there's no way to return it. So just like Shofchei Damim lo nitnu la'yishavon, af pore the lokhei ribit, malave ribit lo nitnu la'yishavon. That's Rabbi Yochanan's svara. What's Rabbi Elazar's svara? V'amar Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak matam Rabbi Elazar, Yomar Kro, beautiful deal. Al tikach miton nesher v'tarbit v'yareta me'elohecha. That was the pasuk that should have been quoted before, not yareta me'elohecha ni'ashen, which was not referring there, it was referring to lo tonu yishetachim. Wrong pasuk is brought over here by the Torah. But anyway, but this pasuk, v'yareta me'elohecha, v'chai achicha ima. What is that all about? What's the v'chai achicha ima? At the end of the V'yareta me'elohecha. That's an amazing chiddush. That even after you were over on this, and you went ahead and you weren't Yorei me'elohecha, don't forget, your brother is going to have to live, which means you better get him the money to live. You can't walk away with that money. He's meant to be supported by you, in this case, by returning his money. So, ahadarlai, give him back that cash, so that he should be able to live with you. So then this is not what the machlokas between Abaya and Rava is about, because it says beferish they're arguing in a whole different din. Okay, so I give up. All right, so then what is it? But my plea is, so far we have 15 cases, all of which are unique cases. So what are they arguing about? They're arguing about Shinui Kena. Now, the pshat that most of the Rishonim hold is the bottom line, is that this is a play on words. And that when you say they're arguing about Shinui Kene, it means a more profound sense of Shinui Kene, which is when you change the existential realities, do you get anything out of it? Do you get anything out of it? Did you get something? That's the machlokas. So what we're doing is we're saying essentially the following. There is no practical difference. The only difference is in understanding the existential nature of the mitzvah satira. That's the difference. Ultimately, you thought when you were talking about Shinui Kene, Begeza, everything that a human being takes illicitly is Shinui Kene. You made use of the world in a way that is not meant to be yours. There are Satan Livnei Adam, but this is not the way it was given to you. So you were Mishane. Can you get something out of that Shinui, or can you never get anything out of that Shinui? That's the question. How do you look at what comes your way by the misuse of life? And that is an existential issue. It may not be a legal issue. You're right. We have not been able to define a single place where there isn't a different mechanism that would cover the same thing. But that's because the Torah often will talk about the physical reality, Ba'olam Hazeh, on one level, and leave it to you to figure out where this is coming from. Why are things this way? Does that mean that things have to be different? No. Is it not true that you could have two completely different approaches to a sugya and come out with the same halacha? For totally different reasons? Halacha karava velomi taime. Halacha kabaya velomi taime. Different issues are here. You think you have it all worked out. So Rav has got it all worked out. Because in every case where it's different than what he expected, there's a reason. Abaya thinks he's got it all worked out because every place where it's different than his expectations, he's got a reason. That's the beauty of the whole sugya, says the Gemara. The beauty of the whole sugya is that every case could always be a special case, depending on what your general theory is about the nature of life. So this is true about Torah all the time. You can develop a pattern from things that points in one direction. I can show you a pattern that points in the other direction. Each pattern will mean that the other pattern is a list of special cases that just happens to look like a pattern. How will you know the difference? So in this, and this is true in science as well, right? This is true in everything in life. We constantly pick out patterns, and the fact is that other people pick out other patterns. And this is true in the nature of our own lives as well. We pick out patterns and we come to believe a particular narrative. That narrative is based on a pattern. Somebody else picks up something that makes you look unrecognizable to yourself. Well, this is what I see. Well, what about this? That's a special case. That day he was feeling in a good mood, so he acted like a mensch. Or that day he was applying for a job interview and he was afraid that they would see him not acting. Whatever, there's always an answer to anything, right? So Mamela, the beauty of this Gemara, is that really it all boils down to the deeper meaning of what did you mean when you said Shinui Kene or not Kene? Think about that. Because in general, that's much deeper than you're pretending it is. So what was previously referred to as Iyavid Mahani, Iyavid Lomahani, the Gemara obviously is not going to repeat the same thing. It's not going to say they're arguing about whether Iyavid Mahani or Lomahani. I know that, but I'm asking you, what's the difference? The difference is not halachic. The difference is existential. Is a Shinui Kene or not? So it's not just playing games with the words, because otherwise it's completely weird. Why all of a sudden do we change the meaning of the Yavin Mahani or Lomahani into Shinui Kene, whether Shinui is Kene or not? It's beautiful. It's brilliant. Because we don't know what the pattern is. Halachically. It's exactly, listen, I've given you examples in science of exactly the same thing, right? So you can have a totally different way of looking at something, and there will never be a halacha l'maisa difference. As a matter of fact, I know you know. As a matter of fact, you can have different ways of looking at something, and you can prove mathematically that there will never be a difference between those two ways. That's the most amazing. You can literally prove that the results of approach A and the results of approach B, even though they have nothing in common, will always be exactly the same. That's an astounding kind of thing. This is what happened in the early history of quantum mechanics. Two totally different mathematical theories that nothing in common. And the people were arguing and yelling about this. I mean, it was like every conference was about this. Until somebody showed, what are you yelling about? It's not going to make any nafkamina. So if it doesn't make any nafkamina, halacha lemaisa, the yelling is philosophical. And it remains philosophical, by the way. Ad hayom. Nobody knows what quantum mechanics is about. It's just a question of how to deal with it. You take the math, it's easier to deal with. That's all. But what is it really saying? I have no idea. Nobody really has any idea. That's the problem. The same thing is true over here. You want to talk about what lies behind what it is that the Torah is telling you? There may be shivim panim the Torah. You say, but halacha lemaisa? You can't be shivim halacha lemaisa. So the results are the same, but for totally different reasons. That can also be, but we're not always sure that Eil Veilo, but it certainly can be that Eil Veilo. But over there could be Eil Veilo, even if it's not coming out lost. You'll notice, my friends, that one of the most astounding implications of this statement, this is unbelievable, is V'hayahu utmurato yekodesh. That's the point. It's amazing. That's the main point of this Masechet. Doesn't matter which way you go. It'll always end up being Kodesh in the end anyway. Yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
No, emit itself has many pranim. It's the same as quantum mechanics. There's so many different pranim. You haven't touched the underlying, real underlying issue. You don't even imagine what it's about. That's the point. So in the same way that you learned early on, right? So early in the 20th century, you learn. I mean, you can't have something that can be both a so-called corpuscle, right? And a wave. I mean, it's got to be one or the other. So if I prove to you that there exists a particle of light, so how could it possibly be a wave? And then all of a sudden you see that, but it does wave things. So you have to bite the bullet and say, you know what? I don't understand the nature of reality. There's something that is beyond that appears to me to be sometimes this way, sometimes that way, depending on how I look at it, how I set up an experiment. That was the first step to recognizing that things are seldom what they seem. Skim milk masquerades as cream. Anyway, yeah, that was a different thing, relative to you. Okay, fine. Anyway, Rabosa, I think it's one of the most moving Gemaras in the world. These words of Shiva Kaina. It's mind-boggling. Push it, mind-boggling. And people sit there kvetching and this. And that. So why do we change the Lashon?
And we're going to stop here for the day.
Stop here? Well, we've barely begun.
I thought we had time for questions and comments and make your moments.
But you're making fun of me that I took out time for this. You mean Moshe? You're just trying to be nice. Okay. Yes.
My question was.
Okay. Right. Lishna Krina, what are we arguing in? We're arguing in Ba'ani Shinuya. If we're going, you want to go through, says the Gemara, there's a whole other approach to the piece that we just started with the Ribbis Ketutza, okay? Let me tell you the Lishna Krina. So the Lishna Krina, first of all, first idea of your Lishna Krina is not Shinui Kena, but rather Shinuye Dishanina. All the answers that we just answered depends on your initial approach. It's the same idea. What's the philosophical question, and therefore determine which way you have to go? Is this the unusual case, the special case, or is this the special case? Okay. Now, here's another lushan of the whole discussion. Let's start again. The issue is, like we first said, beribit ktutza. And la baye lo maharibis, and la rava is maharibis. That'll be the nafkamina. Forget about Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Abaye and Rava themselves are arguing in the mitzvah in whether you can recover in court or not. But I thought Abaye, who holds that it is Ma'ani, he holds that you could still take it back in court. So how can that be the explanation? The Omar Abaye. Interesting case. A guy has arranged a payment for a loan of 4 zuz of ribbis. He doesn't have any cash. He has a coat which is worth 5 zuz. So he tells the guy, listen, take my coat. You've been so good to me. It's worth a little bit more. Take the coat for your 4 zuz of ribbis. And he gives him the coat. And then he goes to the guy for the ribbis back. When we take in the court, we take the ribbis back. Take the ribbis back? I thought you were saying according to Abaye, we don't take the ribbis back. So this is the end of this approach, Lachor, right? But now the question is, when we take the ribbis back, what do we do about the extra zuz? Was that a gift? Or is that seen as part of the ribbit? So, now Lach is over there, that the 4 zuz that he gave in, the Yavloi Lamalva, the Gavayo Gulima, the Shavi B'chamisha B'arba. He gives him a jacket that's worth 5 zuz as the 4 zuz. When we take it back, we only take out 4. And the extra zuz is seen as a gift. Whereas Rava says, no, we take out the whole thing, chamisha mafkinamine, because why did he give it to him? He gave it to him, b'torat ribita, karate liyade. It came into his hands only as a payment of ribit. Okay, but meanwhile, do you see that Abaye and Rava both agree that you could take it out in court? They're only arguing about what the extra 5 zuz is. So don't try to tell me that the machlokas is this. In this lashon, we come up with the same thing. We attempted yet another answer, not the way we did it before with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, but directly in Abaye Varava, and it turned out that wasn't the machlokas. Now, there were some things that you told me before that I'm uncomfortable with. Stam, it was like, it was all the way back in number 10. I understand we're already in basically 15. But looking back at number 10, what was number 10? Tana Rabbana, Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Takrivu. You said before that the halacha is Lo Takdish, right? You said if somebody is Magdish Bo Mum and you brought for the Pasuk Lo Takrivu, it never said Lo Takdish. I let you get away with it then. But how do you know that there's an Isser being Magdish Bo Mum that you took it for granted? Oh, it's this bright. What do you think the words mean? Lo takrivu. Im b'lo tishchatu, does it mean do not shecht it? It's sorry, but it says beferish later on that pasuk, as we'll see. It must mean that the bal takrivu is bal takdish. You can't even be magdish in the first place. And this is the source. Mikan amru magdish b'alamim l'gabim mizbeach. Actually, if you went ahead and you were Magdish, and then you went and you brought it, and then you went and you reserved the dam, and then you went and you burnt it on the Mizbeach, v'chulei, you will be over 5 separate lavim. Mishum bal takdisho, mishum bal tishchatu, mishum bal tizraku, mishum bal taktiru, whether it's taktiru kulo, and a new iser bal taktir miktsosai. And Rabbi Yehuda says there's another one, there's a 6th iser. Even being mekabel the dam is a separate issue, which we'll see. Af kabbalat adam. Let's analyze this for a minute. Omar mar, im bal tishchatu, you claim it can't mean not to shech because it says beferish not to shech later. What? Where? Where? Back of this up over here. Heichan omar, where does it say? Ah, take a look at this bright. Okay, this is another bright, so it's more detailed. So it says in this bright, posik says averet o shavur o charutz o yabelet. Then lo takrivu. So if you have any of these things, you have a blind, you have a broken leg, you have a slit through an eyelid, or you have a blister, or a wart of some kind, don't bring it. Mata mudlomar. What does it mean when it says lo takrivu? That's the pasuk we're referring to. If it means bal takdishu, then the bal takdishu it said before with the overall pasuk that we had of lo takrivu. Elamata mudlomar bal takrivu. Here bal takrivu meant lo tishchatu. That's what we were referring to when we said it already says lo tishchatu. The ishe lo titnu mehem. This refers to putting on the ishe. The ishe means putting on the mizbeah. In the ela kulan, it's only if I brought the entire animal. How about if I just bring part? Maybe that's not us. And no, mehem. Mehem means from any little bit of a balmo. How do I know even tzvikasdam? Mimizaser minayin. Talmud loma ve'al hamizbeah. Is the dam al hamizbeach? What do you got to say? Al HaMizbeach is Ishe. Al HaMizbeach means even the dam that's put on the Mizbeach is a separatist for Lav. And then when it says La Hashem, that includes that even if you were Magdish, a Baal Mum, to be the Sa'ir La'Azazel. Sa'ir La'Azazel, what am I going to do? I'm going to throw it off the cliff. It's going to be busted into pieces. Who cares if it has a Mum or not? It's not going on the Mizbeach. Kamashma, is it? This is the Sa'ir that is included because it's the batch La'Hashem. Even the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. What? Wait a minute. First of all, the word Vashem does not add things, if you'll pardon me. The word Vashem actually limits things. You want me to show you? Lashem, you're telling me, is Rabot, to include the Sa'ir La'Azazel? We have another Braita that talks about a different case where I'll show you that Lashem actually is a Miut. It's not a Riboy. Because over there, we're talking about a case where in, this is, again, it's one of these things that are being brought smack bang in the middle of everything, where we're talking about El Petach O Moed Lo Evio, we're talking about Shchut Echot. El Petach O Moed Lo Evio, Lahakriv Korban Lahashem, V'nichrat Aisha U'mikarav Amo. So there we're talking about Shchut Echot. Now, if it said over there, Korban, Lahakriv Korban Lahashem, I might think that includes even bringing Kachir Berek Abayit, and shechting an animal that had been given to Berek Abayit to be using for transport. So I go ahead and I shech the transport. Because Berek Abayit is called Korban. Where? In the laning we just had. Vanikravit Korban Hashem. Who is the Korban Hashem? Was talking about gold, rings, silver. Well, how is that a Korban? Berek Abayit. So you see that Berek Abayit is called Korban. So suppose I gave an animal to the Berek Abayit and I shecht it for chutz. Maybe that should be included. Because of Petach HaOmoed Lo Evio. No, therefore, to make sure that you don't make that mistake, it says a Petach HaOmoed, only something that was ra'ui to be brought to the Petach HaOmoed. There I'm chayav on Shchut Echutz. But if it wasn't ra'ui, then I'm not chayav on Shchut Echutz. Ein ra'ui l'Petach HaOmoed, ein chayav on aleihem mishum Shchut Echutz. Fine, these are things that we know very well. We learned these halachas many, many times. Now, continues the Braita. Maybe only the dinim of Berek Abayit I should exclude. And I should not exclude maybe the Paraduma and the Sarah Mishtaleach, because I mean, those are beautiful animals. They are roi to the Petach HaOmoed. They're just not meant for the Petach HaOmoed. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, La Hashem. La Hashem means only those karbonos that are miyuchadim La Hashem. And these are not miyuchadim La Hashem. Yotzer Elohim miyuchadim La Hashem. They're not given to Hashem. They're thrown off of the cliff or they're burnt outside on Aramashkah. They're not included. So you see that the word Lashem limits the cases and excludes the Parah Adumah and excludes the Sarah Mishtaleach. And now you're turning around and you're saying, that's Benogea Shchut Echutz, but Benogea the Halacha that we're talking about over here in terms of being Magdish and Baal Mum, there Lashem includes the Sarah Mishtaleach. Does it make sense to you? The same word in one place includes and in the other place excludes, and it's exactly the same thing that it includes or excludes. I mean, come on. Either the Sarah Mishtaleach is called Lashem or it's considered to be Bedafka, not Lashem. You can't have it both ways, can you? Says Rav, want to bet? Did you ever hear of context? Context is everything. Hata minyana dekra v'hacha minyana dekra. In each place, you need to look at the context. Where you were talking about the din of Shchut Echutz. And over there it says El Petach. El Petach is Marbe, whichever is without a mum. You don't bring it El Petach HaOmoed, you're going to be Chayim. Oh, comes along Lashem to say, but only if it's Lashem. So over there the Lashem is coming to exclude. But over here the word Ishe Lashem is coming, where we're talking about the Isser of a Baal Mum. So over there when it says Ishe Lashem, it means only things that belong on the fire. Does the Azazel belong on the fire? No. So I already know that the Azazel is not included. Comes along the Pasuk Lashem to be Marbe, even the Sa'ir Lazazel. Ah, you have an obvious question. The Sa'ir Lazazel cannot be a Baal Mum for the simple reason that it has to be exactly the same as the other one because we don't know which one the Goral is going to come up on. So if you made the Azazel a Baal Mum, it's like making the Korban Lashem a Baal Mum. So why do I need a Pasuk? Of course it's a Baal Mum. Ask the Gemara, what if it wouldn't be for this pasuk? Time because of Kol Hashem, I would have said the Lo Mighty Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. Oh, Lo Rabbi Kol Hashem. If it wouldn't be for that pasuk, Hashem, what? You would have thought, Havlamin Asar Bishtaleach, I can make the Asar Bishtaleach a Balmum. I'd like you to show me how you could have done that. Because the Goral will not work between the two animals unless the two animals are exactly alike and both of them are Ro'oi to be brought Lashem. So therefore, it's an impossible thing anyway that you're discussing. So what do we need this pasuk for? Omer of Yosef. You can have a Asar Mishtaleach that will never have to be matched up with the other one. How's that possible? I'll tell you. It's going according to Chananan Bitzri. Chananan Bitzri says, suppose you did the Goral, you shechted the Korban Lashem, and you're about to send out the Asar Mishtaleach. The Asar Mishtaleach takes one look at the Yishiti and dies of a heart attack. So what's the halacha over there? Says Chananan Bitzri, Afilu dam bakos. You have the blood already in a cup, ready to pour out, and the Azazel drops dead. So you think, I got to start over again. I don't even have the live animal. No, it's not even dichui. Maybe chaver, you bring another animal, and you team it up with this one. So now that means you don't need a gora, because you're able to select one animal as the Asar Mishtaleach. So you might think, in that case, I'm selecting one animal as the Asar Mishtaleach. What's the difference with the Balmum? Comes along the puzzle, Hashem, don't you dare. You'll be over a lot if you make a Asar Mishtaleach Balmum. That's what it's talking about. Maybe chavero umizaveglo. Now, wait a minute. You are jumping to a conclusion that according to Chananan Bitzri, when he says you could team up another animal, he means you don't need a goral. How do you know that's what he means? Maybe he means bring two animals. Do another goral. But the one that was Lashem, you don't use because you already have one Lashem. That one, you wait till it gets a moon, whatever, you sell it and use it for Naila. This one, you just team up with the already existing Dam and the Kos, right? Maybe that's all that he means. All you've proven is that the blood isn't ruined by the fact that the Asar Mishtaleach died. But do you see anywhere the Lo Tzarich Hagrala? You don't need a Hagrala, Mishamatai. Maybe all that he meant was you bring two of them, you make a Hagrala, and then you team it up. But in that case, you're back with the same problem. Then that means in order to do a Hagrala, by definition, the Asar Mishtaleach that you're going to select has got to be a Tamim that would have been Roy Lashem. Fine, says Rabbi Yosef. Okay, not Chananan Bitzri. It's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Beferish, Meit Echad Mehem. If one of the two goats die, buy another one. Without Hagrala. Maybe Chavera below Hagrala, Divi Rabbi Shimon. So that means, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is definitely a case where you have a Asar Mishtaleach that you're buying just as a Asar Mishtaleach. What's the din in that case? Rava says, very simple case. You went ahead and the Azazel got a mum after you did the Goral. That's the question. So, okay, fine. So, but what you did was you were Mechalal the bodies. I don't like this. I mean, let me bring another animal in its place. But you brought a mum in its place. You said, well, why not? This is a much nicer animal. Oh, it's got a mum, a little mum. Well, you brought an ophthalmologist to see a little mum. Come on, it's a beautiful animal. If you did that, you would be over on a lav, even though there's no problem of hagra. Ah, beautiful. Thank you, everybody. Please be merchel me for schlepping you out a little bit longer. But at least we finished all of our 15 cases and all of these possibilities. And meanwhile, got a philosophical tour as well, and Ira wants to say something important.
Last question. Are there any cases, la halacha, that are decided by the poskim by choosing either Rava or Abaye?
Well, yes. That's what's interesting. Yes, there are nafkaminas, la halacha, at least the way that we understand the cases in the Rambam, where the Rambam seems to be possibly like Abaye, and everybody's asking, I thought we only pasuk like Abaye in Yal Kagam, and this is not a Yal Kagam case. So there are quite a few areas in which the issue actually does make a nafkamina, which is fascinating because the Gemara doesn't find the cases. Right? And then there's the famous case, I mean, everybody talks about, which gives so much room for discussion because it forces you to recognize the subtleties. It's such a beautiful case. Shechting on Shabbos. So if you do Shechita on Shabbos, should that not be a function of the machlokas of Abaye v'Rava? The Torah says you're not allowed to do Shechita on Shabbos. and you went ahead and you did. Is the shechita kosher? The shechita is not kosher. The Mishnah says beferish the shechita is kosher. Afa pishu mitchayev ben avsho. That we had in Chulin, the Mishnah, shechita tok sheira. Why? And why don't we bring up that case? That'll give you something to chew on. What's amazing is that there are so many reasons why that case has nothing to do with the Avodah Mahani, that it gives you just joy to see the detail of the issues of why, oh my God, I didn't even realize that that's an entirely different point. And there's so many faces that it's a different point, and it's just a joy to think about. So anyway, I'll let you think about it. Maybe we can make talk about it, but it's a lot of fun. Okay, everybody. Kol tov. Wonderful. I hope again that you're merciful me for keeping you a little bit longer. But hopefully we had fun. Okay, go.